All right, good morning, everybody. You know, it's a good thing to get together one service, isn't it? Okay, just a quick question. Today's going to be a little bit interactive. It's a little different already. You've known it's a little different. You can tell it's a little different by the setup, the one service at 10 o'clock. I'm just curious, during the meet and greet time, as your kids were released and everything, how many of you here today shook a hand, met somebody that you had never shaken your hand before, but there was somebody new that you greeted today? Raise your hand if there's somebody new. Yeah, see, I love that. That's what happens when we surprise you and stick you all together in both services. Because people are like, hey, that's my seat. No, that's a different service, and now you got to fight for it. But then you got to shake hands. It's a good thing. I am so glad that everybody, that you're all here today. Some of my favorite times are when the church is able to meet together like this. You know, if this is your first time here, what we usually do is that during the school year, we end up having to have two different services. Part of it is because of parking and attendance and stuff, because of how many people come in the summer, because people tend to go on vacation and stuff. We're able to squeeze everybody in, and we do one service usually during the summer. Hopefully, next year, who knows if we'll be able to do this or not, but we're going to have some more parking and all that. I don't know where that's not in my notes. I'm just looking down at my paper thinking, what am I saying? What I mean to say is, if this is your first time here, I'm so glad that you're here today, and I hope that today is a blessing for you. Today is actually a good day to be here, because you're going to get a good overview, really, of what our church is about, what our goal is. Every March, we meet on a day like today, and this is today, but every March we meet together for our annual meeting, and that is today. So after the services, after people are able to get their kids, we ask that the members come back and we meet today. We talk about, we vote on our budget, talk about some of the ministries that we're looking forward to and all of that. But today is a great day to be here because it reminds us why we're here. What our purpose is. We used to meet together, on this Sunday in March, and then we would go down afterwards. We would go downstairs to the fellowship hall, and we have our annual vision banquet. But we just got too big. We can't do that anymore. So we pushed the vision banquet off to the summer. So we look forward to all of us being together, having a picnic, eating out there, just enjoying company with one another. But listen, if this is your first time here, or maybe you haven't been here for a long time, the reason why we do what we do is, in case you haven't got it from our singing, from our songs, it's because we hope to inspire you to follow Jesus, to take your next step in following Him. God's got every one of us in a different station in life. We're all on our spiritual journeys. We're in different areas of the path, and sometimes God is calling us to take a step of faith that is just, you know, maybe it's not super huge, but for some of you right now, that next step of faith is actually a really big thing. But God is calling every one of you, including me, to continue to take that next step of faith in following Him. That's why we're here. That's why we do what we do. And as the church, we're here to support one another with that. So let me talk to you about some of our vision of the church. Maybe take a look at some of last year in review. And in a little bit, I'm going to do something I've never done before. You all get to be a part of that, but I'm going to have a little bit of interaction going on. So a few years ago, our small group, some of our small group members that Shay and I were a part of before we decided to go and be a part of the college student, the young adults in college group, they all went fishing up to the St. Lawrence River, and they invited Shay and I to go up to the St. Lawrence River and go fishing up there. We had never gone fishing up there, but we knew we were in, you know, great hands because he'd gone fishing up there a lot. So we're looking forward to the fellowship, and I'm looking forward to catching a bunch of fish and all this. But when you're on the St. Lawrence River, he's like preparing us, and he's like, okay, you got to get a license, you know, to fish and all that. So I'm like, okay. And he's like, well, here's the thing. The problem is St. Lawrence River, half of it is in Canada, the other half's in the United States. So you're going to have to get a U.S. fishing license. But if we want to fish over on the Canada side, you've got to get a Canadian license. And I'm just thinking, well, okay, what do we do? He says, well, here's the thing. As long as we don't put an anchor down, we're not officially touching Canada. And so when we fish, You just need to have your U.S. license and all that kind of stuff. Now, if we go way over to the Canadian side, you know, all that stuff. So what we learned is this: there is a place where he knew all the fish was. And as we're going, we have to go up to this area, and we're just now we're drifting with the river as we're kind of going back, and we're fishing as we go back, and we're trying to catch the fish. And then, you guys remember, then we had to kind of go back and come back up again, and we drifted. We just kept on drifting, and no matter what, somebody had to be at the wheel. They had to be repositioning ourselves to go back to where the fish was, or we would drift away. And the reason why we couldn't anchor is because then we would be illegal. So we drifted. That's why we do days like today, because of drift. I don't know what jobs you guys are all in, but I will tell you this. Drift is everywhere. Doesn't matter what organization you're a part of, your organization will tend to drift over the years. If you're a part of a family and you thought, oh, this is how we're going to raise our family, your family is going to start to drift in certain ways. If it was, oh, we're always going to have dinner together, sitting at the table, we want to do that, all that, and then all of a sudden you have soccer and basketball and things happen, and before you know it, you're no longer at dinner table all the time because you have now, you've drifted, you've moved. It happens to every one of us. But here's the thing, not just every organization or even homes, but churches experience drift as well. We drift off mission. Okay, so how do churches drift off mission? I was thinking about that. Sometimes it's because people don't really know what the mission of the church is. Sometimes it's because we forget it. We get so busy and we forget, well, why do we do church? All I know is I get up on Sunday mornings, I come and I do church. And I go, and, you know, the pastor goes on and on and on and on. But, you know, it's a habit, so I do that. So people forget, you know, the busyness of life and all of that. Sometimes churches, we develop programs to try to help. To try to help people get involved, get plugged in, and being a part of serving one another, reaching out to the community, teaching the kids, part of instructing adults, all of that. But we develop programs. But after a while, what happens sometimes is the programs drive the church. And we just kind of go and we do the programs because of that, and we drift and we forget. Sometimes churches drift through age. Guess what? All of you this year, you're older than last year. Wow, Kyle, you are brilliant. We are. We're all getting older. But as we get older, if a church doesn't reach out to the next generation and make disciples of the next generation, they drift. I've seen the opposite take place in some churches where the churches are all built on just young people and they've drifted away from honoring and taking care of those who are older. Churches drift in all sorts of different ways. Sometimes churches, they become just inward focus. It's kind of like a huddle, like a football huddle. And you're all about, you see each other, but you're not paying any attention to anybody who is out there. But some people call it like the holy huddle. But you get so focused on how to be comfortable, and what you do is you lose sight of your mission of what Jesus said. You know, really, Jesus' mission can just be brought down to two words: make disciples. As a church, we're trying to build disciple makers. That's what our goal is. However well we accomplish that, at least we know that's our goal. And we try it in different ways, and sometimes we try and we miss, and we try something else, and maybe that works a little bit, then we hybridize that and try something else. That's just what we're trying to do over the years, make disciples. But no matter who you are and what kind of organization you're a part of, you constantly have to fight against drift. You constantly have to go back to the vision, and that's why we do what we do here. This is why 3 times a year, I try to go back and talk about the vision. I was talking with Shay, and she was thinking, okay, so it's almost been 20 years, so like 20 times you have done this, kind of, you've done this sermon. Like, what are you going to say this time? And I said, it's worse than that, honey. I do it 3 times a year. So we're looking at 50 or 60 times. And, you know, she just reminded me. She's like, well, you know, the great thing is that you don't have to come up with what the mission of the church is. You just need to continue to remind us and bring us back on point. You know, last year, at this very same time, this basically the same day, it's a different date and all that, but on this Sunday, third Sunday in March, I spoke about our vision. I wonder how many of you remember it. We're going to take a test. Yeah. Let me just share a little bit about it, and then I'm going to get your involvement in this. So for those of you who have been here over the last year, you get to participate. But our ministry goals, okay, they float out of one verse, okay? And the verse was Colossians 4, 5, and 6. I translated this out of the Greek. This is my translation. That's why it says at the bottom, it says the KKV, the Kyle Curran version. This is it. In wisdom, walk towards those who are outsiders, making the most of the opportunities. That everything kind of flowed out of that. That's one of the major verses really in my life and my thought about ministry. But the emphasis is, what are you doing with the people around you? How are you living in a local way? And so one of our emphasis is basically was to divert more of our resources, any excess budget, bringing people, divert our people into local community. All right. So we want to try to reach out where we live. It's one thing to engage and support into missionaries who live a long ways away. And that's wonderful. And we want to do that. But if we do that and we're not busy and we're not reaching out here, then I would say that we're failing at making disciples. So we've got to constantly evaluate, how are we doing with this? You know, our goal is to engage our community for the gospel. The gospel is just simply means it's the good news. So we wanted to invest in things that we can participate in, where we can impact the community. We wanted to send not only funds, but we want to try to send people to local ministries where we like what we see. It's still true. By the way, this is not just the last year. This is what we used to do. Now we're doing something different. That's not the case. This is still something that we want to do. But I'm reminding us of what we said last year. And our primary ministry goal was to take people who are followers of Jesus Christ and to put them in close vicinity, rubbing shoulders with people who are not following Jesus Christ. That means all of you. Everywhere that you go, that you would try to be near other people who are not followers of Jesus so that you could speak to them, talk to them, love them like Jesus loves you. And so we had some ideas about, you know, some of the funds, helping to fund some ministries, help to provide, you know, mentors for people. One idea was to fund and to provide mentors at Life Choices Center. We also ended up giving we gave $25,000 to help that ministry over there. We've talked about doing service projects for local schools. That's still something that's on our mind that we need to do, we need to focus on. We've talked about campus ministry over at Binghamton University. It's like a mile away. How are we impacting, how are we reaching out to the students, the people over at BU? We've talked about providing funds for doing that. And also refocusing on international students. But basically the issue is, what can we do locally to help you all reach out to the people who you are kind of rubbing elbows with in your community and all that? And so the question that you have to do every year is a little bit of an uncomfortable question. You need to do this in your organizations. And you have to ask this question: how did we do? How did we do last year? You look at your budget, you look at your goals, you look at your projections, whatever. How did we do last year? So how did we do last year? And I would say, I think financially, I just want to say as a church, you were all very generous to, we both used our budget, we used excess of our budget to help locally. Now, I think we still have some room. And it's not just about developing programs, but it's about developing the mindset and developing this is our culture of how do we get outside of our walls and rub shoulders in the community. Because here's the thing, if Grace Point ceased to exist, would the community notice? If Grace Point ceased to exist as a church, would everybody in the community, would they say, hey, what happened? Where are they? They were so involved. I knew people from there. I may not be a Christian, but I've seen some of the things that they do. How would the community react if we ceased to exist? And we would want them to miss us. So that's a challenge, and that's one I think that it still stays. We've not said, oh yeah, we did that. Yeah, we are there. We're not there. We still have to be reaching out to other people with the message of Jesus because the message of Jesus transforms people's lives. We can sing about it and you can raise your hand, but until you really see it and it gets you and it sticks its hooks in you, it's just a little church thing. But once it gets in you, you can't let it go. And you've got to share who Jesus is with other people. So how did we do last year? I think financially, generosity, you guys have shown yourself to be a generous church. As far as interspersing throughout our community, I've seen it happen, but we still have more to go. Got that? I don't know what grade that is. You guys can give yourself your own grade or whatever. You can make it up. But another thing, this is where I need your participation. Another thing I challenged last year is each of you to take a step of faith personally wherever God was calling you. And what I did is I gave you 25 ways that you could take a step of faith. So let's evaluate how you did. This is where we get class participation. So first way of stepping of faith, it is a beginner's step of faith. So next slide, please. There we go. Beginner's step of faith. So here's the thing. A beginner's step of faith would be like, hey, I'm not a Christian. I need to learn who Jesus is. I would like to know more about who Jesus is or meet with somebody that can help me understand. That's a step of faith, saying, I'm going to do that. I'm going to meet with somebody. Another step of faith is actually putting your faith into Jesus Christ, that you trust Jesus Christ to save you. Or it's where you surrendered your life to follow him. Before, you're like, I'm kind of living my own life, but actually I'm going to surrender my life. Another first beginner step of faith is baptism. When you come forward and say, I want to be baptized as a believer in Jesus. Another step of faith would be membership. I've been here, but I've not been a member. I need to take that step of faith. I need to become a member. And a final step of faith would be, I've never ever given back to the Lord what he's provided for me. And so I want to start giving to the Lord. Those are beginning steps of faith. Now, if you took any one of these beginning steps of faith that I mentioned, please stand. Anyone. Baptized, put your trust in Christ, decided to come, all that kind of stuff. Yes. Yes. Can I get a round of applause for yes? This is what we celebrate. Now I haven't decided if I wanted you guys to all stay standing. I guess we're sitting. It's okay, you can sit. You might get a chance to stand up again. It's okay. Did your knees lock up? You're good? You're prepared. He's like, I'm going to be standing the whole time here. Yeah, that's what I like. All right, here's the next one. Next slide. Did you take your next step in growing and in learning? So where you didn't attend services before and now you've decided I'm going to attend regularly. I was never a church attender. Now I'm going to do that. Another one would be saying, I'm going to start growing in my own personal disciplines. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I never read them before. I'm going to try to read through the Bible in a whole year. Or maybe it was prayer. Or maybe it was memorization. You decided, I'm going to remember. I'm going to memorize Bible verses. Or maybe I've never shared my faith. I'm going to do that. Or maybe it would be, I have never been mentored. I need to find a mentor who can kind of teach me. And I'm going to find a mentor, get involved in a mentor to learn. Or maybe I've never been involved in one of these community groups, small group Bible studies. I'm going to start being involved in a small group Bible study. Or maybe I'm going to read a book, or I'm going to be listening to a teaching, or maybe I'm going to take a class. This is a step in growing and learning. Anyone in here who took a step in learning and growing over the last year, please stand up. Can I get a round of applause? Okay. Thank you. I think the pattern now is that you get to sit down. All right, how about this? Did you take a step in serving? What this means is that there are so many different areas to serve within our church. Okay, so there's all kinds of activities. Serving would be like if you got involved in a community group, a Bible study, and you said, I'm going to serve in doing that. So maybe you say, I'm opening up my home and we're going to host, or we're going to provide food, or we're going to organize events or something like that. Or maybe it's serving in the church in one of the ways, children's ministry, youth, you know, Sunday morning, whatever. Or maybe you decided, I've done that already, but I need to serve in my local community. I need to just choose, I'm going to serve there as a way to rub shoulders. If you took a step of faith in serving this year, please stand up. Amen. Amen. Yes. Yes, thanks. All right. All right. We got two more of these. Next one is this. Did you take a step in discipling? This means, did you share your faith with somebody? Did you tell them about who Jesus is? Okay, that would mean giving the gospel that Jesus Christ, He died, He was buried, He rose again because of our sins to deliver us from our sins. And if we put our faith in Him, we can become children of God. Okay, so that's sharing your faith. Sharing your testimony would be even different. Tell your story. This is my story. This is what happened to me. This is what I used to be. This is what happened, and my life has changed. Or how about this? Becoming a mentor. That you've been further on in the faith and you're like, I need to find somebody else who needs to grow. And I want to ask them, would you be willing to meet with me on a regular basis as a mentor? I'll try to mentor you and help you grow and help disciple you. If you started facilitating, like leading a community group. Okay, if you led a study in a community group, and this could be leading a class, this could be leading children as well. Leading any kind of Bible study class. If you took any one of these faith steps in discipling, please stand up if you did one of these things. Amen. All right. Great. Thank you. All right. And here's our last one. And some of you may be reluctant to stand, but it's okay. You should be bold. Did you take a step of obedience in other ways? And this can mean that there was a sin in your life and you're like, I needed to repent of that. I needed to turn from that. And I need to decide to follow Jesus instead of that. Or there's somebody in my life that I need to forgive. I've been holding bitterness and a grudge against them. I need to forgive them. Or maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it's I need to seek forgiveness. I know I've hurt somebody and I need to seek forgiveness from them. Or maybe it was this. I need to say no. I need to say no to something, remove something in my life because it's hindering my walk. And maybe it's something bad or maybe it's just something that hinders. And I just say, no, I can't do golf on Sundays. I'm going to say no to that because I'm going to follow Jesus. Okay, so that would be a step of obedience in other ways. Anyone who took one of these steps, please stand. Yes, amen. Amen. Thank you. Okay. Amen. All right, you guys can sit down. These are the things that we want to celebrate. And there are more. There are things I didn't mention in here that I probably could have mentioned, but we just don't have enough time for all of that. But these are the things that we celebrate. Last year, we recorded a number of things, and I put them up on the screen, but I know that 11 people took the next step of following Jesus by being baptized. If you were here last week, Lydia was up there. She was baptized. Wonderful thing, step of faith. But 11 people last year did that. 30 of you decided I need to become a member. That means that I'm going to choose to stand with our church. You became members, 30 people. Over 20 people began serving strategically. They had never served before, and now they're like, I'm going to serve within the church. Ladies discipleship. You ladies have 40 women involved in a mentoring class. That is fabulous. Men. There is a new men's group on Thursday nights. By the way, men, if you don't know about this, I didn't even think about this. But like the first time I got called to go down there on Thursday night, they were eating grub. It was good. Last week, guess what? I got a call. They're eating grub again. Thursday nights, I'm watching these guys. Any of you men here for that Thursday night Bible study? Yeah. Can I get a hoo-ah? All right. There's a few of you. And you're not even Marines who did that. Yeah. This year we added 8 new Connect Group Bible studies. So that means we've got about 19 connect groups with over 220 people that are participating. That's good. Our youth group has an average of around 56 students. And last year, these students, they brought 100 of their friends who had never been to Grace Point before. They've never invited, but they invited 100 friends over the last year to come and be involved in youth group. I'm so excited about our children's ministry director is not in here because she's out doing this. But Angela, I'm so thankful for her to have her involved. Children are being impacted in really intentional ways. There are basically an average of 60 kids on Sunday morning, 60 kids on Wednesday night. They're learning about God's plan of redemption. They're learning actually developing spiritual habits, like bringing their Bible, memorizing verses, doing things like this. And these kids, they're having a blast. And so we're so glad about them. Our kids, they're not just the next generation of the church. They're part of the church. They're part of the church. They are the church. So if you're a member and you want to know more about what has gone on, we have an annual report that Bonnie makes up for us and we all contribute to. And you can grab and you can read that later today. But let's talk about now. So last year I gave you 25 ways that you could take a next step. How can I beat that this year? I have 55 ways. Who said no? So today what I want to do is I want to give you 3 ways to take a next step. You can remember 3. I want to give you 3 ways. This is just 3 thoughts about our vision, about our purpose, about our mission. These are 3 thoughts. This is not your normal message, not your normal sermon. So if this is your first time, you could say, well, you know that that's not the normal. But I just want to give you things I'm thinking. Some of it's going to be a little random. I'm going to tie it together, hopefully. But let me talk about that. First thing, like one of the 3 thoughts about our mission and our purpose is that we should be a people who know God and know His Word. And of course, we know God from knowing His Word. But I was thinking about this, and Paul wrote to the church of Corinth, and he said this. He said, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace." God's not the author of confusion, but of peace. The English Standard Version said, "God is not a God of confusion, but of peace." But the idea is, we live in a confusing time. If we really think about it, we live in a confusing time. Everywhere you go, somebody's saying, this is right and this is wrong. We should be for this, we should be against this. And other people are saying, no, this is true, this is false. And everywhere you hear, people are like, believe this. Be involved in this. You shouldn't be involved in that. You should be doing this. And everywhere we go, this is what we see. Years ago, it was food. It's a really serious deal. I grew up hearing that milk, it does a body good. Anybody else heard that when they grew up? Milk, it does a body good. I still remember the commercial. Milk, it does a body good. I still remember that. And somehow overnight, milk was bad. It was bad. I was teaching when I was a college pastor. One of my college students that was part of our, we had like 70 students involved in a Bible study. And when one student basically shared with me at this Bible study, she shared with me that dairy is bad. And I said, where have you heard this? Because this is, as I'm eating a pizza, where do you hear this? You know, got a glass of milk and pizza, you know. And she's like, well, my professor in college. And I'm like, well, which class? I'm thinking there's some new nutrition class, some new research or you know, whatever. And she said, history. And I'm like, wait a minute. Your history professor in college is teaching that dairy is bad. And I'm like, there's like an incongruency there. And here is my thought. This is what I was thinking. Oh, no. What are we going to do about all those baby cows? They need dairy to live. What's going to happen to all of these calves that depend on milk to live? But then I guess people must have heard about my plea and then later milk was good again. But then I heard that beef was bad. And I'm thinking, what, maybe it's because of all those calves that drank that bad milk. And they grew up and now it's bad beef. I mean, I don't know. Hopefully you guys can laugh at it. Maybe it was because of Chick-fil-A and one of their campaigns about, you know, eat more chicken and all that. I don't know. Maybe that's probably where it all came from. Chick-fil-A. Okay, so if this was the main issue of confusion in our society, I think we'd be just fine. We'd be okay. But see, the issues of confusion, they are growing and they are everywhere. And the confusion and the messages, I mean, you hear it as people are sort of saying this is how you should raise people to think certain things. Like the message starts by saying, listen, you can be whoever you want to be. And from a young age, you're saying, hey, listen, your truest self is the one that you get to create. You create your truest self. That's the idea. We tell the young people, create your truest self. And if you've ever faced conflict between your most authentic self and your family, or your most authentic self and your culture, or your most authentic self and whatever that inherited religion is that you grew up with, yourself ought to win. Put that primary, lift that up. That's the thing. And we start to see that it's all about, you know, me. It goes from the slogans like have it your way and do everything your own. But then the confusion comes from the news that we hear, because different news sources give us the slant that we want to believe. So you get to select, what kind of news do I want? Instead of hearing truth, we're like, what kind of slant am I going to have to choose from? And then, of course, the politics, they make it much worse. But, you know, the redeeming thing that I think that has come and really helped our just this generation so much is social media. It is just wonderful. Social media is like, oh, so glad for social media. Facebook, yes. Ah, TikTok, Some of you can't tell. Is he being sarcastic? Oh, yeah. Very, very, very much. I mean, social media divides people. It confuses people. And see, the lies get embedded and then the damage is done. Jesus said this in Matthew 12:23. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If you're divided, you're going to be conquered. That's why this whole divide and conquer. This is Jesus here. Every kingdom divided is brought to desolation. And the fallout of this broken story, it's everywhere. And we see anxiety and depression and despair. And see, here's the problem. The problem with being deceived is that when you're deceived, you don't know it. If you're really deceived, you don't know that you're deceived. I was thinking about, well, what does the Bible have to say about living in confusing times? And I was looking, and there are eras of these confusing times within Scripture. You know, at the end of the book of Judges, the last verse, it says, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. It was a confusing time. Everybody did whatever they wanted. Anarchy. I think of the Old Testament prophets. They lived in confusing times. They brought a message of repentance, of turning back to God, turning in faith. But most of the nation didn't believe them. Didn't believe that their message was accurate. Believed that they were false. Didn't want to turn back. Like, I don't think that these prophets are true. I believe a different message. And these prophets of God, they were unable to turn the nation back. Listen to what Jesus said what Jesus said life was going to look like near the end of the age. This is what Jesus said. Matthew 24. For then there will be great tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. That's scary. There is going to be trial and tribulation like it's never happened on earth ever, ever, ever before. And then he says, unless those days are shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. And then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. So Jesus taught about a time of misinformation, confusion, people saying and believing things about him, about Jesus that weren't true. And when I think about this, I think about this kind of darkness that Jesus is picturing, and there's this light in the darkness that shows up. There's a light. How is it, while all kinds of other people are deceived, the true followers of Christ, the people who are Christians, followers of Jesus, how is it that they're going to be able to resist the deception? Because that's really what he's saying. If possible, they might be even. But in other words, it's impossible. They're going to have so many signs and wonders to deceive everybody. And if it were possible, they would have even deceived the elect. But it's not possible. How is that? Why is that? How is it while others are deceived, they're able to resist the deception? And the answer is just simply this. They know God's word. They know God's voice. They know God's word. They know God's voice. They've spent time. They've spent time knowing God. Then that has protected them. Jesus said this in John 10. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. I give them eternal life. And they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Jesus talked about a day that is coming, and we're watching the world build to a time when it's going to be very, very difficult to know the truth. It's going to be very difficult. There are even going to be in miraculous signs that are going to deceive, and there's so many variables. There's going to be retellings of what happened, many different sides, and all of these different things that you hear, they all want you to follow their agenda. But in reality, those powers and influences, they're all following, I guess, what I would call the puppet master of lies. And this puppet master of lies doesn't care which agenda you follow, as long as it's away from Jesus. Doesn't care. He gives you all kinds of agendas that you can hold on to as long as it's away from Jesus Christ as your Savior. This is what all these agendas are pushing towards. You know, the spirit of our age was really well summarized by Pontius Pilate. Jesus said, everyone who hears the truth, or everyone who is of the truth, hears my voice. Next slide, please. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? You know, the previous night before Jesus is meeting with Pilate, because Jesus is about to be crucified. But before that, the previous night, Jesus encouraged his disciples at the Last Supper. And he says, listen, I'm going away. But in my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. And when he did that, Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So here's the question. Do you know why it's so important to know God's word? It's not just so that you don't fall for lies. It's not just so that you don't become deceived. You need to know God's word because that's how you get to know God. That's how you get to know God himself. That's how you start to hear his voice, where you understand what he's saying as you read through his word and you understand that you just infuse it in your life. Because the word of God is all about knowing God in a personal and intimate way. It's like sheep knowing the shepherd's voice. We're the sheep. He's the shepherd. That's thought number one. Thought number two about our vision and about our mission is this, that we should be an authentic and welcoming community. I don't know if you have realized this. I'm sure you probably have, but there is a forceful current that we have to go against today as the church, as individuals, but I want to speak right now as the church, okay? What I mean is as our community of believers. I'm not talking about church services. I'm not talking about a building. You've heard me say this before. That this is the church. The church is the people. Look at the building. It might have a steeple. Church is not the building. The church is us. It's the people. Okay, that's what we are. I've been reading a book called Alone Together by Sherry Turkle, and she is researching what we're doing to ourselves by substituting technology for real relationships. And she's researching about the tech, the changes that technology have brought in communicating, and how it might make us feel like we're more connected, can easily reach out with a text or an email, all kinds of ways that we could do that. You could reach somebody through Facebook Messengers, through Instagram, through whatever. But also, we have become less relational, and we have become more alone. And we have been starting to depend on imitation forms of relationships. That's what we're substituting this kind of thing for relationship. And what we're doing is, she says, we're being led into an unhealthy solitude. And this false togetherness that we're creating and that we're weaving around us, it's becoming this artificial, this synthetic form of relationship. And over time, we're expecting technology to sort of fill the gap. We're not looking for each other to help fill our gaps. We're looking for technology to do that. And so we're expecting more from technology, less from each other. And then we wonder why we feel empty. Because we're alone. And we need each other. You know, 59 different times in the New Testament, there are these commandments. They're called the one another's. And you just see these words together. Do something, one another. Such and such, one another. So, love one another. It's one of the famous ones. Be kind to one another. Be at peace with one another. Don't grumble among one another. Love one another. Regard one another as more important than yourself. Serve one another. Forgive one another. I mean, there are 59 of these, maybe more if you count like the repeats. You can't do any of these things if you don't spend time with one another. Can't do them. There are two places to do it. You're going to think this is brilliant. You can do it inside the church property, and you can do it outside the church property. Phronemus, right here. But did you know that relating to one another and then also serving one another, that's actually a part of what Jesus calls us to as discipleship? Hanging out with each other is actually a part of discipleship when you actually spend time together. It's part of our spiritual formation. If you wonder why, if you want to grow spiritually and you feel like I'm just not growing, you know, maybe it's because you're not interconnected with the body of Christ the way that you need to be, where you're serving, you're interacting, you're using your spiritual gifts and they're using theirs, and you're now growing as a person and you're blessing the body of Christ. See, we're commanded to do this. This is a major part of being a disciple of Jesus. And see, here's the thing. This is why God left you on this earth in Broome County and brought you to Grace Point Church. You have to start thinking this way. Okay, do I believe that God is sovereign? He's over everything. Okay, he's over everything. He's over all my life. And the question is, well, why did he bring me to Grace Point Church? Was it only so that I could come and attend on Sunday mornings and I could listen to some hopefully good biblical content and then go home? No, it's not. I know that. You were meant to be involved in the lives of other Christians in more than a casual way. But what does this mean? That means some of you need to start purposefully doing this, that you need to start setting aside maybe part of your budget and saying, I'm going to set apart part of my budget and I'm going to choose to try to go out with different people on some Sundays of the month. Hey, would you like to go out to lunch together and hang out? Or hey, would you like to come over for dinner and do that? Or would you like to do something together? Or maybe you go fishing on the St. Lawrence River and you want to invite your pastor to go again.
Bob.
Maybe you go out hunting for maple syrup every year.
Nate.
And you need some extra people to come and hang out around a fire and boil off some syrup. There are things that we can do together where we're a part of the body. It's not rocket surgery. You have a gift relating to people? Let's develop that. Let's develop it. Let's get you involved in relating to people here in the church. You want to leave your mark on the next generation of Jesus followers? There's a way we can get you involved in that. You will put your mark, you will put the mark of Jesus upon these little minds where they're following Jesus. See, your church is the greatest opportunity for you to do that. Do you want to enhance the environments of our ministry? You're like, oh, they could do better with this or do better with this. We're talking right now about how can we really have to do something about our website and enhancing that. And we're talking about all of that. But maybe there are areas that we know that we can enhance something. And you're like, maybe we could do that. See, some of you need to purposely start stepping in and maybe serving. And some of you need to purposely start stepping in and saying, how can I be involved relationally? That's a step. Third thought. We've got to be purposeful in engaging and reaching out people to people. And while we've got to choose to perfectly spend time together, okay, with fellow Christians, the church was never meant to be a club. It's meant to be the primary mobile offensive unit to expand the kingdom of God. To go out to people who are lost and dying, and their destiny is to go to a very terrible existence. We've got to get our heads out of our own, you know, little group and realize that there are people in our community who that when they die, what Jesus said, not what Pastor Kyle said, but what Jesus said is that when they die, they're going to go to hell. And see, here's the thing. If you don't believe in hell, then what are we even doing here? And when we stop feeling compassion for those without Christ, we are out of step. We are out of step with God's heart. And so we have to do that. Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." You know, there's not a lack of people who are not Christians in this world, is there? What is it that we're lacking? We're not lacking non-Christians. Is it that we're lacking money? Is that the issue? No. What Jesus says is we're lacking people who are willing to do the work of an evangelist. Christians who are willing to reach out as a matter of just, this is their habit. This is their culture. They talk to people and they bring up, hey, what do you know about Jesus? Let me tell you. Let me tell you how he changed my life. You know, the Great Commission, Jesus said this. In the end of Matthew, he said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." Let me just teach you a small little bit here. When he says in verse 19, "Go, therefore," you think, oh, it's command. You need to go. Actually, it's not. It's a participle. A participle is just an ing word. So instead of go, it would be going. So the idea is this, as you are going, when you leave here, where are you going? When you, tonight, are you going to go anywhere? Where are you going? Tomorrow, are you going to work? Are you going to class? Are you going to the store? This is what we're supposed to do as you're going. You know, a few months ago, I was approached by a woman. Her name is Angela. And she said, "I need to talk with you. I've just got to tell you something." And as a pastor, you never know where that's going to lead. I'm like, okay, prepare. And she's like, oh, it's good. I'm like, okay, I've had people say that to me before. And she began to tell her story about how two women named Debbie brought change in her life, because back in June of 2024, Angela's husband had passed away. So as time went on in September, she has been dealing with this. She was dealing with the grief and she's been hurting, and she thought, you know, she just kind of felt like, I need to go do something. I'm feeling sad. I'm feeling sorry for myself. So she went to a local boutique, and when she went up to the woman in the front desk and the counter, and she said, you know, my husband passed away a few months ago and I'm feeling down, and I kind of came here just to get a little pick-me-up. And as she said it, she started crying. And one of our members, Debbie Underwood, happened to be in the store at the time. And she happened to overhear some of that. And Deb said, I felt like God was telling me, I just need to go up and give this woman who I don't know, I've never met before, I need to go give her a hug. And I need to invite her to come to like grief share on Tuesday. Because I guess maybe it was, I don't know when it was. And so Debbie goes up and talks to her, and I don't know if she gave her a hug or not. I don't know how awkward that was. You guys can tell me about that later. But she hugged her, told her she cared for her, that God cared for her, and then she invited her and said, you need to come to grief share on Tuesday. And so guess what? Angela came. And she got involved. And she started growing and learning and received help through her difficult times. And in the meetings, Debbie and Joe, they were there, and Joe would lead, and he would often share a little bit about Jesus, invite people to come to the church services that are in our building here, invited her to attend Sunday services. And so Angela didn't come. And instead, she started watching online. Secret. Watch online. None of you have ever done that. And the more that she heard in the messages, the more God's word is making an impact in her life. And she's learning and she's growing. And then she said, I'm going to start attending. I'm going to start coming. And she started attending Grace Point in person. And she told me, and I, by the way, I asked her, is this okay to share? And she said, yes. She said, I started to feel more like a part of a family. I never felt like a part of a family like this. When I grew up with, you know, the religion and stuff that I grew up, I never felt this way. And after grief share was over, because it's a closed amount of time, Debbie McCoy, she began to start a small group Bible study looking at just different things about the Bible, about what it teaches about our spiritual lives. And over time, Angela trusted Jesus as her Savior from sin. She trusted Jesus as the Lord of her life, and she has been attending, and she has been growing. And as I listened to her story, I was just like, this is so cool. This is so cool. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Angela. Listen, the Bible talks about this. 1 Corinthians 3:6. Paul planted the seed, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. Next slide, please. It's not on the slide. Oh, well, it's okay. Paul planted the seed, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Listen, neither you nor I can cause somebody to grow spiritually, to bring them up to life. We can't. All we can do is plant seeds. We can water. We can share the truths of God's word. We can talk about what he did to our life. God is the one that causes the growth. But what he calls us to do is to plant, to water, to share. So this is our vision as a church. We want to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. It's just basically what the Great Commission says. And we're trying to create opportunities. We're trying to create environments that encourage and they equip you to pursue three main things. Growing deeper in intimacy with God. Growing deeper in community with others in the faith. And having influence with people who are outside the faith. By placing yourself in meaningful ways, rubbing shoulders with other people who are non-Christians, trying to have conversations about Jesus. So listen, these are our three goals. These are our three hopes. This is the three purposes, the three intended outcomes in trying to help you actively engage. Be involved in a mentoring experience, of serving and teaching and learning and growing and walking alongside other people, pointing them to Jesus. Listen, last year, I gave you 25 ways that you can take a next step this year. I want every one of you to take 3 steps. Every one of you. 3 steps. A step deeper in knowing God. A step into richer community and serving in your church. And a step of courage, sharing your faith, the good news of Jesus, with people who are outside. Can you do it? Shake your head if you are intending to do it. I've got it on film. Next year. Let's do it. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray now and ask for you to take this, to take these things that we talk about, these purposes of our church, and to help us to be faithful in doing them. That we would reach out to others. Lord, that we would continue to grow deeper in community with our church. And that we would turn to you, that we would learn your word, we would think about you, and you would grow us. But Lord, you're the one that has to give the increase. So help us to be people who plant and who water. And I pray, would you give us the pleasure of seeing you give the increase. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
And in closing time together, let's get a little late. If you have to go get a kid or something, that's fine too. But let's just sing this as a church and just be reminded of God's love. And sing it, oh, how great is the love of God. He paid our debt on the rugged cross. For all our days, we will sing our Savior's praise. How great is the love of God. Oh, His love is so great. It's so good. Oh, it's so good, I almost can't believe it. Far beyond what hearts could ever dream. The God who set the galaxies in motion would descend to give His life for me. For what could perfection bleed for sinners? What leads a king to pay so great a cost? All my life, my heart will sing the answer.
Oh, I would trade my life for Him.
my mind can't comprehend it. It's so high, too marvelous for words, and I could sing a million songs about it and barely scratch the surface of your world. This all my life, the better I'll be winning. My anthem cry, no matter what may come. When I rise to walk the streets of heaven, oh, I'll still be singing this song.
Upon you, be gracious to you, the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I love you, Grace Point. You guys are all dismissed. I hope you have a wonderful week. Let's take this out and let's go be the church. And by the way, those of you members, we're going to try to meet back up here in about 15 to 20 minutes for our members meeting. We do have food and snacks for you, so if you're hungry, come back and we'll have something for you. We look forward to seeing you. Have a great week. You're dismissed.